The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's a hump day. It's Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. A lot to get to on the show. In this Wednesday edition of the show, we're going to continue to hear from some of the guests we talked to at Jim Harbaugh's golf outing on Monday. We talked to Jared Irons, really good friend of the show, former Michigan linebacker, number 37 in your programs, number one in your hearts. J.I. joined us, so we're going to get to him coming up in a little bit. That'll be after we get to the countdown of the 2021 Michigan football season, which is coming up very soon here on the show. And then following the countdown, we'll get to J.I., and then later on in the show, we'll get to Sam's recruiting roundup. He is in Orlando for the MBAPA Top 100 camp, so basketball on the brain when it comes to recruiting. Sam's down there for today, tomorrow, and I believe it's a three-day event, today through Friday. He'll be on the air a little bit later on this morning. He'll be live from Orlando tomorrow and Friday as well, so we'll get to that. And obviously, probably a lot more on that a little bit today, but definitely more tomorrow and Friday, as Sam hasn't actually seen the action yet. Camp starts today. But he is down there with some very interesting names, some Michigan targets in there. And then there's one name I want to mention to Sam just because I saw the name, I saw the hometown, and then it made me feel really old. Creed Williamson, son of Arkansas star Corliss Williamson. He is at the MBAPA Top 100 camp. And so I saw the name from Little Rock, Arkansas, knew it had to be Corliss' son, and so that one really jumped out to me. So we'll get to Sam coming up in a little bit. We'll talk basketball more with him, obviously. Throughout the morning, we'll get to football here on the show. Michael Spass going to join us at 8:05 for his weekly Inside the Huddle segment here on the Michigan Insider. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, another edition of the Midweek Peak with Steve Clark here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. There was actually a lot of ranging from really exciting to interesting. There was seems like a lot of different pieces of news and information that came out yesterday. So first one was from our friends at the Emden. They announced that coming in August, and I sent this message to my wife, and needless to say, this message got a lot of the ladies very excited about our friends at the Emden, but they have an event coming up, and I lost my the date of it. Where'd it go? I lost my note. It's always bad when you have a note and then it goes, but coming in August, Lululemon. Lululemon is coming to the Emden in August, and I sent that, so August 27th, coming soon, Michigan and Lululemon, the Block M and the Lululemon, and so the Facebook messages and the tweets on Emden's page blew up. My wife got really excited. I messaged our friends there, and they're just excited to have that new partnership, excited to get that gear in about a month. And so, in fact, 1 month from today on August 28th. So really exciting. Plus, they have some autograph signings coming up. So continue to follow the Emden on social media because they are working on a bunch of different things as we are now entering the NIL era. And so, for example, the Emden is going to have Dax Hill and Aiden Hutchinson at the Emden this Sunday, August 1st. It's going to be from 1 until 2:30. So this Sunday, 1 until 2:30, Dax Hill, Aiden Hutchinson, excuse me, at the Emden. First 150 with wristbands guaranteed, and autographed wristbands are available to be picked up starting at 10 a.m. That's at 303 South State Street on campus. But this coming Sunday, Dax Hill and Aiden Hutchinson signing autographs. So as we continue this era of the NIL, the early window of it, or this will be a month, basically the month anniversary of the start of NIL, and Dax Hill and Aiden Hutchinson will be at the Emden. So Lululemon's coming in a month. Dax Hill and Aiden Hutchinson are coming on the first of the month. That's coming up on Sunday. A lot of exciting things happening with our friends at the Emden. Speaking of Aiden Hutchinson, he was named yesterday to his second preseason watch list. He was named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. The Bronco Nagurski Trophy is awarded to the nation's most outstanding defensive player. So yes, the National Player of the Year on the defense side of the ball. So he is on the preseason watch list for that. And as I said, the watch lists don't really mean a whole lot, but it does kind of give you a gauge as to how people are viewing your team. Also yesterday, got excited. I got excited, on Monday with the football conversation. Not necessarily, again, a wins-loss thing or a buying into the hype or a drinking the Kool-Aid thing. Just excited that football season is inching closer. Well, basketball season's behind that, right? And so Buffalo actually announced, this has not come from the University of Michigan yet, but Buffalo announced that on Wednesday, November 10th, they're going to open their season at the Chrysler Center. And so the opening game, that's a banner-raising night at the Chrysler Center. Mark your calendars. Wednesday, November 10th, Buffalo is going to come down to take on Michigan, their number one recruiting class, Eli Brooks, the rest of the guys that came back as well. And so that should be a really fun event coming up on Wednesday, November 10th. So again, mark your calendars. And then result from last night. Speaking of exciting, wow. The Tigers were down in the game. It was 4-0 after 1, 5-1 after 4, and it was 5-1 going into the ninth inning. And then in the ninth inning, Haas hits a home run, but not just any home run. He hits a grand slam, and it knocks in Candelario, Cabrera, Grossman, and of course himself as well, tying the game at 5-5. And then 2 innings later, in extra frames in the 11th inning, Miguel Cabrera hits a single to center. Jonathan Scope scores, and that turns into the game-winning run. And Miguel Cabrera, with that hit, now has 2,936 career hits. He passed Barry Bonds for 37th on the all-time Major League Baseball hit list. And so an exciting finish for the Tigers. Obviously, Miggy gets 2 hits to pass Barry Bonds on the all-time hit list. And then the Tigers get pretty good bullpen work because Tyler Alexander struggled. He gave up 5 runs, all of them earned on 6 hits in 4 innings. A couple of home runs in there. But then Fulmer, who was just activated from the injured list, pitched an inning of scoreless ball, get 1 strikeout, 1 hit. Ramirez pitched 3 innings of scoreless ball, 1 hit, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. Funkhauser pitched an inning of scoreless ball, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. And then Cisnero pitched 1 inning of shutout ball, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. He gets the win. Oh, and then Norris, of course, closes it out, gets the save as they go extra frame. So then the bottom of the 11th, Norris comes out, pitches the gets his first save of the year, scoreless inning. Tigers win 6-5. So pretty exciting way to snap their 4-game losing streak and get back on the winning side of things. And they are back to play Minnesota once again today to wrap up their series in the Twin Cities, and then they're going to return home to take on the Orioles for 4-game series starting tomorrow at Comerica Park. And then one other piece of news before I get to the countdown of the Michigan football season, and this was just one of those kind of random things, but the University of Central Florida yesterday announced, and this is something that EA is, Eric Adelson's talked to us a lot about. He's now at UCF at Central Florida. He was at the University of Florida, and he says they need to play, and it should be a regular thing. Well, Central Florida and Florida announced yesterday a 3-game series. Now it's 2024 in Gainesville, 2030 in Orlando, and 2033 back in Gainesville. So it's 3 games over 10 years, but it's still a game, right? It's still being played, and I decided to call this the Eric Adelson game, right? The winner gets EA to be a professor. He's went from Florida. He's now at Central Florida. But, you know, jokes aside, when I said this, I got replies. I had an EA former student say, I'm not even a student anymore, but I'm going to need Mullen to call the game of his life. She wants EA back in Florida. That's the kind of respect that EA has from his former students. It was a really cool note. I saw the game and then EA and I had a little fun with it because, of course, well, he, again, has coached, he has been a professor at, been a teacher at now both schools. He's starting up at UCF in the very near future as he signed on to be with them this school year. And he obviously was at University of Florida in the past. So that was kind of fun. But it's actually a really big time game in the state of Florida. And another one of those things that EA was talking about, legitimizing Central Florida that much more. They deserve it. They're the largest state school in America, the second largest state school in America or something to that effect. So anyway, just a cool piece of news because that one actually is really tied to the show, or so it feels, more than even it is for us in the context of Florida and Central Florida and the significance of that game. But that was another college football note from yesterday as well. And, of course, the other note from college sports yesterday, just overall, Texas and Oklahoma made it official. They did their part. So on Monday, they told the Big 12, we're out of here. We're not renewing our rights deal when it's up for expiration, when it expires in 2025. And then yesterday, the day after they did that, yesterday they sent their official notice or request, whatever you want to call it, to the SEC. And the SEC said that they are going to address this in the very near future. It sounds like they're going to meet like tomorrow or something about it, and then vote on this and start putting this into action. So Texas and Oklahoma are going to be on the move. It's now going to be official. Texas A&M is going to be very angry. And I'm curious to see, as we keep talking on the show, what's the next step? What's going to happen when it comes to realignment? Because that's not going to be the only move. The SEC going to 16 just doesn't seem like it's the only move. I know the Pac-12 commissioner yesterday said he felt comfortable sitting at 12. He feels like in a very comfortable position. I feel like the Pac-12, the Big 12 in particular, are ripe to be picked. And we talk a lot about trying to go after the ACC, and it's mainly if the SEC goes after the ACC, then you go after the ACC. But if the ACC can hold pat and stay strong, they add, say, Notre Dame and West Virginia, they get to 16. And then 16 is the magic number. And then you've got a problem if you're the Big Ten, because there, as we said yesterday, there's not an attractive two. It gets attractive if you want to add four, say the California schools is a four-team pod, that kind of a thing, or six California schools. There are ways to make this attractive, but it includes either numerous Pac-12 schools, or it also includes those ACC schools. It does not include just going with like Kansas and Iowa State. Now, if the SEC goes to 16 and Notre Dame says, no, we don't want to go to the ACC to be 16, we want to go to the Big Ten, then you go Kansas and Notre Dame, and you're fine. That's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good, because Kansas, what they bring to basketball if they ever clean out their act. But story is going to continue to be developing. We're going to continue to follow it. We'll continue to discuss it. But the official part of that was yesterday with Texas and Oklahoma sending their notice of application, or whatever it's officially called, to the SEC. All right, now it's time for the countdown of the Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store, home of Tudor, Rolex, Breitling, Tag Heuer, and a whole lot more. Find them on Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor, online at lewisjewelers.com. Lewis Jewelers, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket. And remember, they don't work on commissions, so they don't try to put you in just anything. They will be very thorough and thoughtful process to find you exactly what you're looking for, whether it's a watch, a bracelet, a ring, engagement rings, of course, where Ann Arbor gets engaged. I talk to DK Keith, the rest of the team over there at Lewis Jewelers, and they will take care of all of your needs. We are now 38 days away until the start of the Michigan football season. As we inch closer and closer and closer to the start of the Michigan football season, we are 38 days until Michigan versus Western Michigan on September 4th at Michigan Stadium, as the Wolverines are now, about a week away from opening fall camp on August the 6th, and then they open the season in 38 days on September 4th at Michigan Stadium. 38 Robert Bob Wheezy days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Born in North Dakota, January 25th, 1923. Bob Wheezy came to us from Jamestown, North Dakota. He arrived on campus in 1941, was a varsity Wolverine 42, 43, 44, and then again in 46. A fullback and a quarterback for the Wolverines on the offensive side of the ball, about 6'2", 190 pounds. In 1942, he started 8 games at fullback and was given the Meyer Morton Award for the player who showed the greatest development and promise during spring practice. In 1943, he started 5 games at quarterback and 3 at fullback, and he helped guide Michigan to a 302-point scoring season, most by Michigan in 25 years, scoring more points than Tom Harmon's teams did just the previous few years. The Wolverines that year won 8-1, outscoring their opponents 302-73. They tied for first in the Big Ten with Purdue, and they finished AP number 3 in the season to finish the season. And that year, Robert Bob Wheezy, as a junior, was named team MVP. In 1944, he was voted as co-captain. He returned to full-time fullback. The Wolverines were 6-1 to start the season before Bob Wheezy was called into active military service November 1st, 1944. He missed the final 3 games of the season. He then missed the 1945 season due to the military service. And then in 1946, he was granted a 4th year of eligibility. They obviously adjusted the eligibility rules back around World War II. You're not going to say, oh, you can't get another year of eligibility just because you had, you lost some games because you went to fight in the war, right? So he came back, and in 1946, he started 6 games at fullback in his return season. And then he played for the Detroit Lions in 1947 and 1948. Many years later, he passed away tragically at the age of 48 in Ohio on November 19th, 1971. It was a twin-engine plane crash. Wheezy and 2 other North American Rockwell Company executives and the pilot crashed in Lake County, Ohio, en route to Detroit for a meeting tragedy in 1971. We are 38 Robert Bob Wheezy days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And we are also 38 Richard Dick Kempthorne days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Dick Kempthorne was born October 23rd, 1926. Came to us from Canton, Ohio, where he went to McKinley High School, a football powerhouse. Went 16-2-2, including a state title in 2 years of high school football. After high school, he went to Miami, Ohio, and played six games for legendary coach Sid Gilman, but then he went to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in San Mateo, California. After several weeks of training, he was assigned to serve as an engine cadet on the crew of the cargo ship USS Wild Hunter, which was part of the invasion of the Philippines in World War II. Post-World War II, he visited Michigan and decided to transfer from the Merchant Marine Academy. He arrived here in 1946, ineligible because of transfer rules, and then he was a varsity Wolverine 47, 48, and 49, a fullback and a linebacker, about 6 foot at about 190 pounds. He played for Coach Wally Weber's team of reserve players and ineligibles in 1946. When Kemp Thorne laid out two varsity players in a scrimmage, head coach Fritz Kreisler reportedly told Weber to, quote-unquote, get that wild man out of there, Weber said. He's the roughest young man we've had around here since the late Bill Hewitt. He's strewn the landscape with football humanity, end quote. That was according to a 1947 Wisconsin State Journal article. In 1947, for the season, for the team, the Wolverines outscored their opponents 394-53 and route to the national title the first season of true platoon football. In 1948, Kemp Thorne played linebacker, fullback for Oosterbond's national title team. He was a leader of an elite defense that gave up 44 points total that entire season. Dick Kemp Thorne in 1949 played a linebacker, but a little bit of fullback as well, voted by his teammates as team MVP. In 1950, served as an assistant for Oosterbond. And cool story here is that he gave his gloves to the punter in the snowball. It's a heck of a story. If you've never heard it, obviously the snowball was really cold, and the teams were punting on all different downs and just to try to play the field position game. And Kemp Thorne had got these really nice warm gloves, and they didn't have, you know, football gloves back then. And he gave his gloves to the punter, and the difference in the game basically trying to beat the gloves punter, the punter's hands were not cold as the others were, other punters were, his counterpart, and he had a fumble, and that ended up being basically the difference in the game. Cool story. Drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns and the AAFC, the Eagles, of course, the NFL, but he said no to pro football. And from 1949 newspaper column, quote, Dick Kemp Thorne, Michigan's great linebacker who could name his own price in pro football, says he wants no part of pro ball. He'll work for his father, who is in the automotive business in Canton, Ohio, after graduation. Draft rights for Kemp Thorne, rated the deadliest tackler Michigan has produced in almost three decades, are held by the Cleveland Browns and Philadelphia Eagles. When the Korean War broke out, Dick Kemp Thorne joined the U.S. Air Force and spent 3 years as a pilot. He flew more than 100 missions as a jet fighter pilot and received the Distinguished Flying Cross for bravery. This is one of my favorite stories in the entire countdown. In March 1953, Dick Kemp Thorne was recognized for heroism after he rescued fellow pilot Henry Rock from a burning fighter plane in Japan. After Rock's plane crashed on the runway, Kemp Thorne sprinted 200 yards to the crash scene, jumped on the wing, and ripped loose the bulletproof glass canopy, with Rock trapped by the gun sight as flames burned Rock's hands, face and hands. Kemp Thorne took the gun sight in his bare hands and broke it off the mounting. Shortly after Rock was freed, the plane exploded. In June 1952, 3 months after Kemp Thorne was cited for bravery, the 1947 team held a five-year reunion. His former teammates and Coach Chrysler signed a football and sent it to him in Korea. Newspapers covered the long-distance gift, and one reporter wrote, quote, Lieutenant Richard Kemp Thorne, jet fighter pilot with the Army Air Force in Korea, doesn't know it yet, but he's about to receive a present that he'll undoubtedly cherish the rest of his life. Mighty Dick, one of the great linebackers in football history, was one of the line-wrecking crew of Michigan's championship 1947-48 teams, and now he is doing an even finer job as a fighter pilot with more than 60 missions behind him in Korea, end quote. True to his desires after the war, he went back into the car business. Even though Paul Brown tried to persuade him otherwise, he tried to get him to join the Browns, didn't happen. Dick Kemp Thorne went to Canton, Ohio, and if you're ever there, I believe it's still there, Kemp Thorne Auto Mall. Dick Kemp Thorne passed away February 8th, 2019, at the age of 92. We are 38 Dick Kemp Thorne, Richard Dick Kemp Thorne, and 38 Robert Bob Wheezy days away until the start of the Michigan football season. No current members of the roster wearing, at the last update of the roster, wearing number 38. We are 38 days away until the start of the Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. Coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to hear from Jared Irons when we continue here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.